What is up, guys? My name's Jordan. I'm with my old man, Howie, and welcome to our first episode of 2021.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. We're coming off a break of a couple of weeks where we haven't recorded a show. It's always good this time of year to take a couple of days to relax and recharge your batteries. As we move into 21, you know, the format of the show is going to be changing up a little bit. You know, during the fall, very focused on football, fantasy previews, players that could have impact week to week. We're going to be mixing it up a lot, talking about different sports here and there. This episode in particular, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA. Just because we haven't talked NBA yet. And in future episodes, we're going to talk about NFL playoffs as well. So I think that the best place to start with a little bit of NBA discussion is which teams have looked the best up to this point in the season, Jordan?
Oh, clearly the Lakers and Clippers. They were probably the top two teams last year, despite the Clippers' early playoff exit. But I think the Lakers and the Clippers are clearly two of the best teams in the NBA. It may be a little early to tell, but the Hawks 4-1. Trae Young looks like a leading MVP candidate this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think one of the things that's well, first of all, a couple of things. You already hit up on some good observations. My son, he likes those compliments, folks. You know, in between the lectures on life, you know, a couple things. You know, talk about the Lakers, and you mentioned to me in the off season, you know, made some very strong moves to improve that team. It was almost impressive. They were able to get some of those players. Obviously, the owners of that team are willing to spend a lot of money on salary cap tax. And you mentioned the Clippers. And it's interesting when you look back on the bubble and you wonder, did certain teams play differently in the bubble? Were certain teams better in the bubble?
They weren't even in the bubble. Which is crazy to think
of
that.
Well, the Clippers were.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Hawks.
No, the Hawks definitely. Yeah. And I think Trae Young's been one of those guys. And, you know, we're involved in the card world. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are getting a little bit involved in cards as well. Trae was slept on a little bit over the summer, out of sight, out of mind. And the Hawks did a fantastic job in the offseason putting pieces around him. I think one of the biggest questions was, how is that going to affect Trae?
Yeah, when you got so many scores. And they got Capella, they got Bogdanovich, even though he's coming off the bench, still a shooter. And then you got
Gallo's on the bench too.
Who?
Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah, Gallinari. And then you got players like John Collins and DeAndre Hunter, who people don't even think about. And they've been phenomenal this year. Like, and then you got Cam Reddish, who people forget about.
Kevin, I forgot about him.
Kevin Huerter, who's been a sharpshooter from three. So it's very interesting to see, and I think they could be a real force in the playoffs if they make it.
Yeah, so far, I mean, unless they're playing over their heads a little bit, but I got to give Trae kudos at the end of the day. I mean, he's showing very quickly that he can be the main cog on a winning team. And I think one of the things Jordan and I have personally discussed a lot is, you know, you talk early NBA, MVP. I mean, we're 2 weeks into the season. It's definitely premature.
I'm like getting notifications on my phone right now. Trae Young, 35-foot three-pointer.
I didn't even realize he was playing tonight.
Yeah, he's playing right now against the Cavaliers, but anyways.
But when you talk about the young guns in the league, I mean, obviously, you know, Ja's now injured at the end of the day. He's going to be out. And listen, folks, you know, from my standpoint, the kid is young. You got to keep him out as long as it takes to get him healthy. Don't forget, this is a quick NBA season again. Here we are in January already. The season usually starts in early November.
I know we've been talking about Trae Young a lot, and they're actually playing the Cavaliers tonight, but I don't think we can talk about Colin Sexton, who's like just a bona fide scorer. I mean, it's crazy. He doesn't put up a lot of stats when it comes to assists and rebounds, but kid's averaging like 26 points per game. And then you got Darius Garland right by his side, and the future looks pretty bright in Cleveland.
I think the future looks better than it's looked the last couple years. I think one of the big things is also we're still early in the season, but the main thing you want to see from these young guys is consistency. You know, like we said, Jordan and I, we buy cards here and there. We're looking for young guys with upside. you know, you can't identify all winners, especially early in the season. And you'll see, you know, RJ Barrett comes out in the first game of the season. Guy was on fire. Everybody's running to buy his cards. The Knicks have the star they've been looking for. We got to watch this kid. And then the next couple games, his shooting percentage goes down dramatically. I always say to Jordan when I ask him about stat lines, because he follows the stats religiously, I said, what did the guy shoot from the field? You know, because if a guy is shooting 5 for 17 at the end of the day, you know, that's not what I'm looking for. You're looking for a guy that can hit, you know, 46-47% of his shots and higher. And again, Trae Young is doing that. Jordan talked about some of these young guns on Cleveland. They're guys that you just have to watch. You have to watch how they play against good teams. You have to watch how they play against bad teams. Yeah. I think one of the other interesting things is the way Luka Doncic has looked so far this season. Yeah. Again, it's early in the season. People said he put on some weight, came in out of shape. You know, some of these guys, James Harden, he's another guy. You come in out of shape.
He's great, though. He's
fantastic.
He can do whatever he wants. Man's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of letting him do whatever he wants. And I think it'll be interesting. He will ultimately be traded. And I think it would be a very different dynamic for him to go to Philadelphia versus Miami, for example. You know, Miami, you look at Jimmy Butler, you look at the way those guys play. You know, they have a system that those players buy into where it's all out, balls against the wall, whenever you play. James Harden, supremely talented player. At the end of the day, you joke, he could stay up all night, he could go to a strip club. You know, he could do whatever he wants, keep him busy, but he's going to come and perform on the floor. Reminds me a little bit about Allen Iverson. If James Harden goes to the 76ers, Daryl Morey's the GM. That's his guy. You know, Doc Rivers, a player-friendly coach. It's going to be a lot different than going to Miami.
Yeah, I think we should transition to the Sixers real quick because Ben Simmons looks great. And then also a dark horse for MVP. I have him on some fantasy teams for basketball. Joel Embiid. I think he's averaging like 28 and 14 this season. He can hit threes. He can dominate down low. He's pretty much an all-around star at every aspect of the game.
Yeah, very impressed by Embiid and his start.
And their first place in the East right now.
As long as he stays healthy.
Yeah.
He's already had one of the dreaded rest games. You know, Kyrie and KD had a dreaded rest game. Listen, that could also just be a function of the quick turnaround. They want to look out for these guys. I will say this. You mentioned Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons statistically has not been off to a great start this season. In fact, if you look at some of his stats, and I saw somebody put it up on Twitter today, he's actually been focused a little bit more on the defensive end. And if you look at what he's done against some of the top players that he's guarded, he's been very successful. But I do think the Sixers are a very intriguing team. Again, Daryl Morey, the guy did a phenomenal job down in Houston. He's off to a great start in Philadelphia. You know, we talked off of the podcast about, you know, being able to move a big contract like an Al Horford who's bogging down your salary cap. So I agree with you. I like what I see so far.
People tend to forget who was on that team besides Simmons and Embiid. You got Seth Curry, who has been one of the best scorers in the league so far this year. You got Tobias Harris,
yep.
Dwight Howard, Danny Green, and then you got some younger and smaller guys like Shake Milton goes out there, performs well, Matisse Thybulle. So, yeah, they got good players all around there.
No, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned Dwight Howard. That's an interesting one. I mean, Dwight has had a colorful career, both on and off the court, for lack of a better way to put it. And, you know, you would have thought he wanted to end up back with the Lakers. In fact, I think he prematurely had announced he was returning to the Lakers because he thought he agreed to a contract, but he didn't sign it. Again, at the end of the day, Dwight, leave it up to your agent. But Daryl Morey is always going to identify those guys that fit into the scheme. Dockers, I have to tell you, the one thing I would say about Doc, and I love Doc, and I was telling Jordan the story about when I ran into Doc about 20 years ago in a spot, a five-star hotel in Phoenix, and he was one of the nicest, friendliest guys you've ever want to meet. I don't see Doc being that guy that holds his players accountable like an Eric Spoelstra or like a Greg Popovich. At the end of the day, Doc is that guy. He wants to be the player's favorite. You know, so at the end of the day, looks like he's doing some good things for Philadelphia. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out over the course of the season.
Yep. I think two other guys we should talk about who have actually been at the top of the NBA right now and fantasy basketball are Domantas Sabonis, who are watching right now as he plays the Knicks, and Jaylen Brown. All the talks about Tatum, and then you watch Jaylen Brown perform, and he honestly, at the moment, looks like the best player on the Boston Celtics.
He looks very good, and it's interesting you bring that up with him. Again, last year, I remember, I used to look at the stats a lot because we had bought some, you know, Jason Tatum Prism base cards back in February before the card market exploded. And I have to say, pretty often, if you look through the stats on the Celtics team and the box scores, Jaylen Brown was always right there, you know, with Tatum in terms of being well-rounded. And but now, for some reason, Tatum was put on the pedestal. Yeah.
And now that Kemba's out, I mean, yeah, it's just a Jaylen Brown and Tatum show. And Kemba can take as much time as he wants to heal because I expect the Celtics to be a playoff team, and I'm sure everyone else does. And it's not like they need the one or two seed to beat the like some of the better teams.
No, absolutely. And it's funny with Kemba at the end of the day. Sometimes it's interesting with teams how when a player gets injured, who steps up, how they step up, how they modify the system. To me, Kemba's a good guy. I almost thought that signing, and we're going back a while now, folks, I almost thought that signing was almost like a, I don't want to say a desperation
like
play,
but when
it was
Kyrie, a reaction. Yeah, when Kyrie left, they're like, oh no, we need a point guard.
And yeah, and they paid Kemba all that money, and that's a very unlike Danny Ainge move. I mean, he's been very successful up in Boston. People respect the moves that he makes. They talk about the fact, anytime there's a player in trade talks, a big name, like a Harden, for example, Celtics names always come up.
Always.
But at the end of the day, I don't know. You know, you talk about Terry Rozier. I mean, we're talking about the Hornets earlier today. Big contract, Celtics weren't going to pay him that. At the end of the day, Rozier probably would have fit in better if he stayed with the Celtics, or maybe they get like a younger, more facilitator type point guard.
Yeah, it seems like, I think we should transition to the Hornets real quick, because it seems like they have three or four point guards at their position. You got Devontae Graham, who is kind of hurting our
card. He's underwhelmed.
Yeah, we have a lot of his cards, and he's hurting us a little bit, but when you look at him, Rozier, and Ball, Rozier has a bigger contract than Graham. Yeah. Ball is their potential future star.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, if the trade deadline comes around, they're going to get rid of Graham over a guy like Rozier, Gordon Hayward, or Ball.
I would agree. I think Rozier has done a nice job of letting the game come to him on that team. And that's probably more the mark of a veteran player. And, you know, and nowadays in the NBA, remember, guys, you know, a veteran could be 5 or 6 years. You know, Graham, if you look at his stat lines, and I haven't looked tonight, but his stats, it's almost like he's not stepping up. He's being intimidated. Going back to some of the things we said about football, he's though.
0 points, by the way.
0 points. How many shots? 0-0. He was 0-2 before.
But I can't really check the shot count, but LaMelo Ball, 10 points.
Oh, and that's early in the game.
Terry Rozier, 13. PJ Washington, 9, and there's still 5 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Well, and what I was going to say is when we go back to talking about football and the sort of player studs rule, it's no different in the NBA. Talent rises to the top, and I think both Jordan and I have been saying since maybe the second game of the season that LaMelo Ball, the guy is just talented. I maybe slept on him a little bit because, you know, I can't get away from the father.
The big baller.
Yeah, the big baller. Triple B, big baller brand. You know, Jordan had it, you know, a couple of years ago on the holidays, he wanted one of those sweatshirts, but I always thought the father was a little bit of a clown.
I met him.
I remember it was like your Instagram profile picture for a really long time.
Forget Lonzo, I want to meet LeVar.
He was like a, you know, sort of an awkward celebrity, for lack of a better way to put it, but he's been relatively quiet. And LaMelo, I mean, you know, you see this guy on the court. I mean, he's like 6'9", 6'10".
And he's a point guard.
Yeah, I thought his shot was awkward initially, but, you know, his shooting percentage has gone up little by little. And he's in the game for, you know, 20, 22 minutes off the bench. And this guy's filling up the stat sheet. It's only a matter of time before that guy starts. And unfortunately for, I think we own two Devontae Graham cards.
A pink and a silver.
Well, we just bought a silver.
And we sent some in at PSA.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that is what it is. I mean, that is what it is. PSA will be waiting 2 years. I mean, these guys could be out of the league with a career-ending injury by that time. But I think LaMelo has all the makings of a star. You know, people have criticized Michael Jordan for the way some of the moves he's made with that team. And even signing Gordon Hayward, I thought was questionable. It's almost like his competitive spirit comes out and he's going to overpay to get the guy. But at the end of the day, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And it looks like a future star has fallen into their hands. You know, just touching base switching gears quickly to the Pelicans, where his brother is, and I don't know if Lonzo has been motivated now that his younger brother's in the league and looks to be capable of lighting it up, because he seems to be rounding into a steadier player. And again, as I said to Jordan, when you see these young guys, and guys, remember, you know, this is the experienced old hand in sports talking, not always right, but certainly, you know, have different of opinions, that at the end of the day, it's the consistency with these young guys. It's like, you know, Obi Toppin, I love him. Everybody loves him. You know, I want him to be on the Knicks. I was so happy about that. He's injured. Now you got to wait for him to come back. Again, with the young guys, watch the consistency. What you don't want to see is one good game, one bad game. You want to see two good games and then one bad game, and eventually three good games and playing well against good teams. Jordan, you know, the Pelicans, I mean,
yeah, they
under the radar a little bit, even with Zion.
Yeah, but just look at their team across the board. They got Zion, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo, Steven Adams. They recently got during free agency, J.J. Redick, Josh Hart, and they have the potential to be one of the better teams in the NBA. They just got to – Zion's got to stay healthy. Brandon Ingram has to continue doing what they're doing, and I think the biggest key factor for them is going to be Lonzo, my honest opinion.
No, I agree with you. I mean, if he plays well and he facilitates, he has a decent shooting percentage. I think the other key ingredient there was adding Stan Van Gundy to the mix. I mean, it's a little bit under the radar for Zion. – You know, the guy barely played despite all that hype last year. The guy barely played.
He took off games during the bubble.
Yeah, during the bubble. He had some personal things where he had to go through COVID protocols to come back. But when you insert a steady hand like a guy like Stan Van Gundy, this is a guy who's, took the Orlando Magic to the NBA Finals. You know, if players buy into what he's preaching, they're going to be a competitive team every night. And I think it shows. And listen, you know, they end up being above 500. I think to start, they're above 500. You know, Zion's, there'll be more hype around Zion at the end of the day.
Yep, for sure. But
how about the BK? How about the Brooklyn Nets, my brother? I hate talking about them
because I'm a Knicks fan, and they obviously have KD and Kyrie, two of the best players in the league, but I don't know how much a team can rely on two players to win it all. You saw the other day, they played the Hawks the first game, and the first time they played them, it was like a back-to-back series. The first game, they went down to the wire, and they got the best of them. But then you look at the next game, KD and Kyrie, you see the stats. Oh, 30 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. You look at the rest of the team, nothing. Spencer Dinwiddie goes down with a season-ending injury. That doesn't help.
Yeah.
And if I matched them up against a team like the Celtics, I just don't see how they're going to beat them in the best of seven when they have Tatum, Brown, Kemba, Tristan Thompson, and all those guys.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think the Nets are going to be a fascinating case study this year. I mean, you're talking about an organization for like the last 3 years. Kenny Atkinson, for my money, one of the better coaches at developing young players in the league. And it showed, I mean, you've got guys that went to that team that nobody ever heard of. Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, you said Spencer Dinwiddie.
Cabaret.
Yeah, I mean, Atkinson did a phenomenal job of getting those guys to play hard, to play defense, to play team basketball. You know, then you bring in the big guns at the end of the day.
Yeah, like Steve Nash, that coach. Yeah. Like, he doesn't seem like the coaching type. I don't doubt that the Nets will be a playoff team. I just don't expect them to be a championship contender, at least for this year. Especially with teams such as the Lakers and Clippers in the West, and then in the East you got Milwaukee, Philly, even Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on the Nets, and I think the pressure is going to build on them as the season goes on if things don't start to gel a little bit better. Yeah. I mean, I happen to like Steve Nash, one of the brightest IQ players when he played in the game, back-to-back MVP. But at the end of the day, haven't heard much from him as a coach. You know, I know in the preseason or in the offseason, Kyrie talked about the fact that they don't really need a coach. I mean, he's out there at the end of the day, and it will be interesting to see how those guys play or relate to each other if they start to struggle a little bit.
Yep. I think there's a lot of under-the-radar teams this year for sure. I mean, the Orlando Magic.
Indiana. I mean, we got Indiana. Magic.
I was going to talk about the Orlando Magic because I think they're the best team record-wise in the NBA right now. Their matchup against the Thunder tonight. And we actually recently bought four Markelle Fultz rookies. And when you look at their team, they got Markelle Fultz, Vucevic, who's honestly, I think, one of the most underrated players in the NBA, consistently year in and year out just dominates the boards, puts up 20 to 30 points each night. You got Terrence Ross, Aaron Gordon, and they got people who are still not even playing for them. They got Jonathan Isaac, who was injured last season, and they got Chuma Okeke, who recently went down with an injury. He's out for 3 weeks, but they're a team definitely to be slept on. I think the Cavaliers, like we discussed, they got Drummond, Sexton, and Garland leading the way. All big-time scorers. Drummond dominates the paint with the rebounds. So I think they're definitely contenders. And then you also got teams right now that are like, I think the Raptors and the Nuggets are in last place in the East and West.
No, that's amazing. It's like I forget about the Raptors from time to time. Yeah, but the funny thing is, you think they're up in Canada. They're actually playing in Tampa.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Siakam, I mean, nowhere near as competitive as he was last year. Still putting up okay numbers, but definitely he's on my fantasy team too, which doesn't help. But him, and then you look at the Nuggets. You got Murray, Porter, and Jokic. Porter's out for, I think, at least a week. But Jokic is putting up these monster stats. And honestly, if the Nuggets finished first or second, I think he would have a legitimate chance for MVP. But right now, they're sitting at the bottom of a competitive West where the Lakers, Clippers, and all those teams are ruling the top. So I think it's going to be very tough for the Nuggets this year.
No, it's all good points, Jordan. You know, all good points. I think with Jokic and MVP, and listen, I'm thinking the Nuggets are one of those teams that'll come around. They went a little bit deeper into the playoffs in the bubble. I don't think that should be an excuse, but with these players, sometimes it's like you really need your time off. You need your rest and relaxation, but there's a lot of money at stake. To me, like, Jokic is just sort of one of those guys that's not sexy enough to be MVP. You hate to see that, but they're just like anything else, there's usually politics involved.
It's, you know, crazy because when you look at his stats, I think, like, I got a stats right here. 23 points, 13 assists, and 11 rebounds.
No, that's very impressive. That's ridiculous. It's very impressive. I mean, but interestingly enough, you got a guy like Julius Randle on the Knicks who's had a triple-double, and he's playing way over his head as well. We'll talk about the Knicks just briefly, just because Jordan and I are both Knicks fans. Again, they're not going to be in the playoffs. They're probably playing for a lottery spot.
I think they're going to be in the playoffs.
No way.
They're going to give LeBron a run for his money this year.
Oh, man. Come on now. I was going to say, I think the biggest thing the Knicks have going for them right now is that Tom Thibodeau is their coach. I would have personally liked to see Kenny Atkinson there. But at the end of the day, you cannot argue with the fact that a coach like Thibodeau makes a team better. You know, I was saying to Jordan the other day, I think they were 2-2. And in one of their wins, maybe against Milwaukee, the eight players that played
44 minutes
were all on the team last year. I mean, think about that, folks. You know, you couldn't buy wins last year at the end of the day. Now you got the same eight players because of injuries out there. And, you know, Thibodeau's got them playing defense. Their three-point percentage has been better. Listen, they're looking to build for the future. They've got cap space. I think they've got $65 million. Next year, I'd like to hope there are better times ahead for the Knicks, but I've probably hoped that for the last 15 years. So,
yep, definitely. You know,
which teams do we miss? Listen, it's not a we need to hit every team, guys. You know, we just want to try to keep it interesting. We want to share our insights on a lot of different things. You know, you've got NFL Week 17 coming up tomorrow. A lot of teams are sitting their players at the end of the day.
Actually, I think only the Steelers and Chiefs are, because I think there's only four games that don't really matter or count towards playoff contention. Okay. So
there are some more interesting games.
We're not going to discuss fantasy just because you shouldn't be playing in a Week 17 fantasy
league. Oh, no question. Unless if you are, you got to get out of that league immediately.
Yeah,
but it's going to be very exciting with the NFL playoffs coming up because – and we love the playoffs, guys. We're in like a playoff league. It's $20 a team. You can draft whatever players you want to fill certain bench spots. But at the end of the day, you lose those players when those teams are eliminated.
Yeah.
So you got to balance who's going to be there in the beginning and who you think is going to be there in the end. And as Jordan and I have been discussing and we've been talking about with our friend Sam, who we communicate a lot with about fantasy, very difficult this year when you're going to have only one team in each conference getting a bye.
And then you also got to worry about COVID, because if the Saints play next Saturday, are you starting Kamara? No, you can't start Kamara because he's out. But since we're talking about football, don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but Your boy won two fantasy leagues this past weekend, and I've been asking my dad for the money for quite a while now, and he has not paid me yet.
Dude, I took out money from the bank today. What are you talking about? I went. We were away. I barely slept yesterday. I mean, literally barely slept. Went out this morning to run three errands, and one of them was taking cash out of the bank for Jordan.
I know.
Which I'm he's probably just going to give right back to me because he's probably going to spend it on something. But
I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Bravo, Jordan. Nice job. Not only did he win the two leagues that he mentioned, for the first time, he was in a big boys league with myself and some friends from college and some people they know, you know, a decent buy-in. And at the end of the day, he came in third place. You know, had one of the best records in the league. He had a bye in the first round of the playoffs, but...
And Kamara decides to get six touchdowns the week after the week I lost.
Woe is me, because that's never happened to anybody else in fantasy. But we have a lot of fun with it, folks. And, you know, there are lessons you take away and you try to remember them and you forget them by the time the excitement comes around of prepping for the draft and... in August of next year. But the main thing is to have fun with it. That's what I told Jordan. There's so many fluky things that happen in the playoffs. I've heard so many stories about, I had the best team in the regular season, and then Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams had a subpar game, or Alvin Kamara, or there's a saying that goes, there's a million stories in the naked city. Well, with the amount of leagues that people play in with fantasy football, there's probably, you know, a couple of million fantasy football sob stories. Right. But kudos to Jordan.
Thank you.
Doing well this year.
But done talking about football. Let's get back to basketball. I think we should end it off with a quick round robin back and forth of who we think our champion's going to be this year. MVP predictions, rookie of the year predictions. So let's start off real quick. Rookie of the year, first thing up.
Oh, dude, LaMelo. Yep. LaMelo, and I don't even... Well, Weissman has looked decent, but, you know, the Warriors are going to underachieve this year. They've got the other big guys around. He might have actually got dinged up the other day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to me, LaMelo just screams star. I'm a little bit jealous. I mean, Jordan would say to me in the offseason as we got closer to the draft, you know, maybe the Knicks will get LaMelo Ball. And I'm like, why would you want that clown? Why would you want that clown? But listen, you take the talent at the end of the day, and you don't hear anything about him being a goof off or not, you know, you're not seeing anything negative in the press.
Yeah,
and that's
a
positive
agree.
Sign.
I would definitely go with LaMelo, but quick sleeper, Tyrese Haliburton on the Sacramento Kings. He gets 27 minutes a game. I think, I don't know if he comes off the bench or not, but he's been pretty decent this year, but definitely got to go with LaMelo.
Yep.
So you wanna go?
Kid's going to be a star.
You want to go MVP?
MVP. Oh, man. That's a tough one.
I had Anthony Davis, but I'm shifting towards Trae Young just because of his.
I think it's tough for Davis to be that guy. Davis is phenomenal.
It's because LeBron just takes over.
You know, he doesn't. Like, even last night, I mean, he just keeps on coming. And I think, not to digress briefly, folks, but I think one of the interesting things is going to be as the Lakers season goes on is, like, at some point, is LeBron almost going to do, like, a symbolic passing of the torch to AD is like the future guy? I mean, especially when you get to the playoffs, you know, I don't think he's going to do it, because for LeBron, it's like, for legacy, it's like you need the finals MVP. I don't think LeBron cares about being the regular season MVP at this point. You know, he'll probably be in the mix.
I think we all know that LeBron is the best player in the world.
No, I mean, I don't know if he's the best right now, but he's certainly fantastic. For lack of a better way to put it. I mean, he's just fantastic. I'm in awe of him. And as he knocks down records here and there. And by the way, again, not to digress, I'm very good at it. And Jordan has to bring you back on point. It was interesting that last night, Carmelo Anthony passed Tim Duncan on the all-time scoring list for the NBA. And I'm just going to shout out Melo. You know, not the greatest team player, but certainly the biggest name that's been in New York in the last 10 years. And at the end of the day, if you look at the list of players he's going to pass on the all-time scoring list, you would be shocked. And I think he's going to be a candidate for Sixth Man of the Year, but I jumped ahead. So anyway, back to MVP. I'm going to go with Jordan, with Trae Young at the end of the day. I think Luka's going to come on. The guy needs to get in shape. And
yesterday,
a lot of things change as the season goes on, but it's certainly fun to speculate. So I will go with Trae as well, and hopefully that'll continue to help our Trae card values.
Yep. What else do we got? Most improved? Our NBA Finals predictions and champion?
I'll say Lakers and the Sixers right now. I reserve the right to change my opinion on the Sixers, but I think the Sixers look good. They got a lot of talent, yeah. And I do expect them to make a big move during the course of the season. Again, the Lakers in the West, I mean, maybe the Clippers give them a little bit of a run. Maybe, you know, Denver gets its act together. But, you know, I actually think they're positioned to make a run at a couple more championships.
No,
but,
yeah. I have the Lakers and Sixers or the Lakers and Celtics. I would really like a Lakers-Sixers because I want Joel Embiid just to have one playoff finals appearance after what he had to go through last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it with the Lakers, man, how interesting is it with the bubble season and the way it worked out that you might have a scenario where LeBron James wins two world championships in 10 months?
No, I know.
I mean, that's just whacked.
And the Lakers are obviously going to be top two, top three team in the West. And the funny thing is, I don't even think LeBron's taking it seriously right now because he walks into games just sipping wine, knowing that he's going to be most likely in the Western Conference Finals unless AD or even if AD gets injured, I still have LeBron making the
I think it's funny when you say that because then you think about the Lakers coach and I Frank Vogel is the Lakers coach. I couldn't even remember who the coach was. You know, he never gets any attention. But listen, I think there's an understanding there that LeBron can play as hard as he
and
wants
then
at this point.
You got LeBron, AD, you get the same player, Danny Green, Wesley Matthews, but you're paying Wesley Matthews for less money. You got Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, and then you got Tucker on the bench.
Kentavious
Caldwell-Pope.
They're a talented
team. The Clippers definitely got better with Batum and those guys, but Paul George is so streaky. Kawhi's Kawhi.
No, absolutely.
But Paul George is very streaky, and I think he'll be the biggest difference.
Well, I think George has been committed to... I mean,
yesterday, he went like 5-for-23 shooting, but...
Yeah, he was at least early in the season. But at the end of the day, don't forget, I mean, the Clippers signed him to a long-term extension. Kawhi has an opt-out after this year, so they're like, they got to do everything to keep him there or it's going to be a disaster.
But,
you know, real quick, coach of the year. Again, I think Atlanta Hawks coach. I don't even know who it is, to tell you the truth. But I think, again, off to a good start. We'll see if they can keep it up.
Sleeper Clifford on the Magic.
I think very highly of him.
And Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, Stan Van Gundy could be an interesting one, too. I don't think they're going to win enough games, though, those two teams. But we'll see what happens. I mean, listen, it could be Doc. You know, if the 76ers, you know, are the number one seed in the East, it could be Doc. I mean, that's a team that's perennially underachieved. Sixth man of the year again. I'm gonna go with Carmelo, man. I'd love to see the guy get it at the end of the day. He's gonna start getting more attention as he moves up that scoring list.
Yeah, I got Montrezl Harrell just because he's the starter on any team.
No, but I know. I just think there's too many guys on that Lakers team when you get past AD and LeBron. And then
Most improved. I got no one talks about him ever, but Kyle Anderson on the Grizzlies has been one of the most underrated players in the league so far this year. I think he's averaging like 21, like 6-5. And Seth Curry on the 76ers. Everyone talks about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Seth Curry on the 76ers, I think, is shooting like 60% from three. He's been phenomenal this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with Kobe White. You know,
Is he even a sixth man?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Most improved. Oh. I'm talking about most improved.
Oh, my bad.
What the heck, man? Your memory's going.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to go with Kobe White. I mean, I think he's easing into that point guard position on the Bulls. If you remember last year, I think he really started to catch fire in March. And I think he's going to steadily improve as the year goes on. But listen, as always, it's going to be fun to watch.
And also,
Kobe White, we own some of his cards too. So we have.
I got one more for most improved, DeAndre Hunter on the Hawks.
Yeah. That's a good call.
DeAndre Hunter on the Hawks. The Hawks are going to be a playoff team, and everyone talks about...
I couldn't hear what you said.
Well, guess what I said? I said DeAndre Hunter is going to win sixth man of the year.
Yeah, that was...
Our most improved. Oh, my God.
Technical difficulty.
I'm drunk from Florida.
Huh?
We went to Florida this past week. You don't remember?
That's right. We didn't mention it, but long drive home, but we made it in a day. But anyway, guys, thanks again for joining us. I know we've been away for a couple weeks. Again, we had a lot of momentum with football. We had a lot of guests. We're going to continue to have guests.
Good luck to all your teams who are fighting for a playoff spot tomorrow.
Good luck.
Shout out to Jack Poznak. Go Giants. We want them to win. We want the Washington football team to lose.
I want them to win, but that's a tall order.
The crazy thing is the Eagles are sitting Miles Sanders, Richard Rodgers, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Reagor. They're sitting the whole team.
Yeah, but you play to win the game. as Herm Edwards used to say. Again, guys, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
If you can tell your friends to give us a listen, give us a like, subscribe.
Thank you for the 2,300 followers on Instagram. We want you to grow. And we also...
almost 2,400.
Yeah, right. We just started a Twitter. Make sure to follow the same username, Jacob's Dynasty Sports. We're going to be continuing to post on there with our podcasts, other posts, giveaways coming up. So be sure to look out for that. But thanks again, guys, for the listen. 2021 has been great so far. It's been 2 days, but
it's got to be better than last year.
Off to a good start. Yeah, than
last year. So take it easy, guys. Yep. Until our next episode.
Have a good one.